Hello, Steve Adams here, founder of Tiger Performance Institute, welcoming you to the April edition of the Tiger Membership Audio Lesson. Today, our topic is how to become a category of one. Well, business is hard no matter how you analyze it. Culture generally demonizes entrepreneurs and corporate executives, despite the fact that we create jobs and security for millions. The government makes it harder as well with well-intended policies that have unintended effects on job creators. Then there is the market, the harshest critic, most challenging giant of all. Well, what is one to do? I recall a particularly stressful trip to Dallas back in 2004 as a story, maybe just begin the conversation about this. A few months earlier, I was facing losses of over $50,000 a month in my three-store chain in Dallas, along with our store in Wisconsin. It was a crisis that demanded an answer immediately. Through prayer and reflection and wisdom from some friends, I took bold action by closing two stores, negotiating to remove a partner, and volunteering to take on the entire obligation to the bank in exchange for much better terms. It worked. We flipped from huge losses to a profit the next month. But with $1.4 million in debt on just a few stores, I thought it was going to take me years and years to dig out from under this. Well, exhausted from the experience, I was now back in town to meet with staff and find a way forward. One day, I just parked across the street from my store in Dallas, and I asked this question out loud in the privacy and quiet of my rental car. Steve, how would I compete against you? And then I pondered that question for quite a period of time. And really, for the first time, I faced and embraced reality that we weren't that special. My passion for service wasn't getting through consistently to our employees and therefore what our customers were experiencing as they walked in and out of our stores. It is a flash of insight that energized me, though, because I would then go on a year-long research mission to find a way to create a blue ocean company. And what I mean by that is a category of one instead of competing in the shark-infested, bloody waters of a commodity industry. So that was my goal. I studied books about Disney, read books by Professor Leonard Berry at the University of Texas at Austin, who was a noted expert on service. I read about human motivation and how the greatest companies combine scaled motivation and purpose in their business. And through all of this reading, I was able to connect the dots and create a way forward that would later prove to be a defining moment in the history of our company. And we were able to then wipe out that $1.4 million debt in a fraction of the time that I thought it would take. Well, the transformation included a three-phased process implemented over a four-year period that led to explosive growth in organic year-over-year sales growth at stores open for at least a year, as well as the growth of new stores through both acquisition and ground-up development. Well, these phases were phase one, two, and three, for the lack of a better, more creative label. Phase one was build an intrinsically motivating culture. Phase two was develop a one-of-a-kind experience. And then phase three was design, train, and enforce the perfect client experience. So those were the three phases. And remember, you've got the transcript, so you don't need to take notes. Just kind of listen. So phase one, build an intrinsically motivating culture. Well, based on the extensive research literature that I read, I learned that the drivers of a culture characterized by employees giving the discretionary part of their hearts to the company vision included three things. One, purpose, a sense of high purpose. Number two, mastery, that there was a development program for them to gain mastery in their work. And then the third driver was empowerment, meaning you gave people autonomy to make decisions. So those are the three things. So let's start with purpose. Research confirms that people in general want to be part of something bigger than themselves. It's why kids with no direction join gangs. Author Simon Sinek wrote the book Start With Why. So we began our journey by asking the why question. And over the next 3 months, I would get all 100 employees involved in this project to find a transformative purpose that everyone in the company could buy into. I didn't want to deliver it from on high. I wanted it from the ground up. So our team came up with a simple, memorable, and loaded with meaning purpose statement, and it reads as follows. To become the trusted advisor to one client per day who would enthusiastically refer their friends and family. So everyone was super excited by this grand new vision. Our positioning was shifting from a price and selection strategy, which is commodity-based, to an advisor role requiring a trusted relationship. This was a game changer. We would need to redefine who we employed, how we trained them, and what metrics would be the most important. And this led to the next component of the three drivers of an intrinsically motivating culture, and that is mastery. So what about mastery? If we were going to earn trust, we needed to be trustworthy. Our clients loved their pets. They wanted to care for them properly. Few wanted to go to the vet for advice because they rarely saw them and they were expensive. This was the gap in the market we could fill. So we became experts so they could trust our advice and meet that middle ground. We also changed our language. We shifted from customer, which is a transactional relationship, to calling our customers clients, which is a trusted advisor relationship. This was a vital mental shift for our team. No longer an afterthought as they managed inventory, the client was their primary focus when the store was open. We partnered with two professors at a major university veterinary school to design a certified nutrition program and a certified wellness advisor program. This would enable us now to solve 80% of the common problems pet owners faced in caring for their pets. We would also be in a better position to intelligently refer clients to a vet when it was necessary, rather than the store staff trying to guess or the client then Googling to try to solve their problem. So the next area that we deemed necessary was leadership. Okay, if we were going to improve the experience and grow our business, we needed to train people with the right mindset to lead themselves first and then others. I launched a monthly leadership program through a recorded audio and transcript, much like what you're subscribed to today, to scale our leadership development. To do this well, you need to create a system. So training becomes primary, not a secondary operational issue. We developed a monthly career builder interview with documents that ranked the employee in one of three categories. It also documented the current month and the prior month training objectives, as well as next month's growth plan. Each month, the manager and the team member went through this process, resulting in a consistent commitment to employee development and having these crucial, hard conversations. And this is where the magic happens. As employees buy into the vision and then become excited about what they're doing, they are invested in consistently delivering superior service and superior work. And then a strong sense of brand identification sets in also, and they become highly motivated to excel and grow. And then clients see this. They sense their energy, and they're engaged at a higher level. They notice, and they tell their friends, and a virtuous cycle begins to take over, resulting in a consistent amount of growth. The puzzle was almost complete at this point, but the next stage was the hardest. And this is the empowerment stage, okay? Remember, we're talking about the three drivers of purpose, mastery, and empowerment to creating an intrinsically motivating culture. So empowerment. At this point, we had a lot of excited, bought-in, and trained people. The next logical step was to let go of the reins of power and give local leaders and staff members more say in how things are done and who does them. So I swallowed hard and I let go. Managers started training high school kids to do manager duties, transitioning to more of a life coach than an operational manager. And we found that as you empower people like this, it's a flow trigger. We had massive flow going on in all of our stores. Now they are even more motivated by the trust and autonomy. We gave each person in the company authority to spend up to $500. I mean, a high school kid could make this decision to make a client happy with no approval necessary by anyone, because we wanted that service recovery to be quick and memorable. We allowed managers to set a business plan for the year and then use whatever means to achieve it they desire, provided it was within boundaries that we agreed to. Okay, so that was phase one. So let's move on to phase two, which is develop a one-of-a-kind experience. Or no, I'm sorry, one-of-a-kind expertise. Okay, so as we mentioned earlier, we committed to becoming the Ace Hardware of pet retail by having highly trained staff who knew how to solve the common everyday problems that pet owners had. Well, over time, we became known in each local community as the place to go for a new kind of retail experience. In our internal surveys to clients, we learned that the biggest fear they had was premature loss of their beloved pet due to poor care and lack of knowledge on how to best care for them. Secondly, their biggest frustration was behavioral problems with their pet. So our training addressed both issues, and as the years went by, we began to dominate in our local trade area despite the presence of multiple pet specialty chain locations, competitors, and mass merchants such as Walmart, Target, and grocery stores, all of whom sold what we sold. We were no longer defined by our pricing and product selection. We were becoming known for our expertise. This was one more piece of the puzzle, and now we had one last piece of the puzzle missing, and that was a consistent in-store experience that would keep them coming in for years and years to come despite the ease of online shopping. And that leads us to phase three, design and train and enforce the perfect client experience. The final piece of the puzzle was consistency in the experience. So we reset our strategy and positioning. We had developed a model to scale expertise in each location. Now we needed to agree on what our experience would be. To start, we needed to settle on who our ideal avatar client was. Through a process of sharing our entire database with a consumer insights research company, we found our best client was a moderately to highly affluent 50-plus female whose kids were grown and the dog or cat was her new child. There was more, but that was the essence. We learned she wanted to engage with expert staff, she wanted to ask lots of questions, she wanted to have a relationship with the staff, and she had little regard for price. She simply wanted to be respected, taught, and treated well so that she could take care of her new child. Armed with this information, we needed to get help in training our team how to approach this avatar, so we engaged a firm with an online consultative sales training system to scale our education-based sales methods in our stores. We wanted one way to sell, not 30 or 47 different ways, you know, based on each store. So we learned that there was a predictable process we could follow to grow sales ethically by only suggesting products our clients needed for their pets through a series of questions and relationship-building dialogue. This is how we uncovered the need. We then combined all of this learning into a step-by-step script that defined the perfect client experience. We specifically trained to the script. We hired a firm to complete secret shopping trips, evaluating staff to the script, and then we reviewed results and we trained the teams based on their secret shops. So after a total of 4 years, it all came together into a phenomenal culture and a system that created a category of one experience. In the face of Amazon and Chewy's, which is a huge online pet retailer, their assault on the pet specialty retail channel, we stood out with the highest client satisfaction scores. We had the highest net promoter scores and the highest employee engagement scores across our entire 400-store franchise chain. And even we were in the top 1% of all retail. This led to the highest same-store sales growth in the company, expanding margins, and an ability to open new stores successfully each time. It also enabled us to acquire existing stores, convert the culture, and grow the stores, thus lowering our acquisition costs and expanding our business across 6 states. Now, let's talk about you and your business. Your business is certainly different, yet you can evaluate these phases and embark on a similar journey. It took me 4 years. It'll take you time as well. I hope because you've listened to this and maybe read the transcript and talked about it with your team, you can do it in less time because I was learning as we went along. You can learn from my story and implement right away and get all of this done, I believe, in 18 months to 2 years. We live in the most competitive marketplace in the world. Niches are quickly copied and commoditized. Most businesses are run with standard approaches toward pricing, product selection, and generic claims of the best service. Companies talk about local owners. None of that matters. Buyers know most of these are empty promises. They're jaded. Few businesses, though, are willing to invest the money and time in this process I've laid out for you. Therefore, this formula to become a category of one business will not be copied. Most are too lazy to do this kind of hard work. Accountants and financially focused business owners fail to connect the dots and say it costs too much. Well, let me ask you this. What is the cost of being generic? Let me ask you this. What is the reward of consistent long-term organic sales growth? Okay? It's priceless. So, what I want you to do this month is reflect honestly on how you would compete with yourself, with your business. Construct a plan to get out of commodity hell and then implement this three-phased process in your business and become a category of one. Thank you.